The first reading is taken from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their coats on the road, while others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
The second reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Helen and Tata, for reading. And thank you for letting me come back to practice my ALP bit. So our reading today, very, very well-known story. But I wonder how the disciples were feeling on this Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. They would have known, obviously, the prophecy of Zechariah, which is paraphrased in the Gospel in verse 5. But to read it in its original version from Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I don't know if you noticed, but the version which I read has one word different from the version we had in our reading today. There's an additional "and," which is a small point, but is quite significant. The way it was read today, it was gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. But Zechariah actually says, riding on a donkey and on a colt. So there appear to be two animals, not just the one. So just hold that thought for a moment, and we'll come back to it. So how were the disciples feeling? As I say, they're aware of the prophecy of Zechariah, and although they never understood all the warnings that Jesus had given them about what was going to happen when he came to Jerusalem, how he must suffer and die, I think the disciples were probably beginning to think that actually this was going to work out. The crowds are there in force welcoming them to Jerusalem. Surely this has got to be a positive sign. So I wonder if they were just daring to hope. And I wonder if that's how we are sometimes. Just daring to hope. And if that is how we feel from time to time, and maybe if that's how you feel today, Take encouragement from the parable of the from Matthew 17, verse 21. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it will move mountains. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. And what about the crowd? They're the sort of focus, really, aren't they, of our reading, first reading today. They would also have been aware of the prophecy of Zechariah, and so they would have been excited. This is the moment. This is the Saviour coming. The palm fronds which they cut, hugely significant. We were waving them in our songs earlier on. They have multiple meanings, really, the palm fronds. It's a sign of victory. You know, if an athlete won a race, he would be given a palm. That was his sign that he had won the victory. It's a sign of triumph, a sign of peace, and also a sign of eternal life. So all this significance would not have been lost on the crowd. These are the things that they're thinking of: victory, triumph, peace, eternal life. Palm fronds were also a sign of Jewish nationalism. So again, there's the sort of getting together, as it were, the real sense of coming together of people of the Jewish nation to welcome their king, and all that sort of national fervour that goes with it. And of course, they were laying their cloaks on the road in front of the donkey as Jesus came. An act of complete submission. It's giving of everything they had, laying their cloaks in front of this procession as it came in. Total submission. So all of this going on for the crowd. So I think they again would have been hugely excited, and I think there's a sense of that in the readings, isn't there? The fervour. But we know, don't we, with the benefit of hindsight, that within a couple of days, it's all going to change. And I wonder if, in that respect, sometimes maybe we're like the crowd. Maybe like the parable of the sower from Matthew 13. Are we sometimes the seed that falls on rocky ground? It springs up, but then it dies back because it doesn't have the roots. I wonder also if some people in the crowd were possibly disappointed. They were expecting a saviour, but Jesus sitting on a donkey doesn't really look much like the saviour that they were really expecting. As you travel round any big city in the world, you see statues of generals and kings and what have you, victors, people on horses, normally stallions who are prancing and dancing, you know, with feet off the floor. There's a real sense of power and of aggression. And yet, here's Jesus on a donkey. And I think the crowd were really hoping and expecting somebody on a stallion, somebody who was going to rescue them from the power of Rome, set them free. But here was Jesus on a donkey. A time had been when a donkey was an appropriate mode of transport for a king or a prophet or a great teacher. But that had gone out really with the time of Solomon. And since then, horses were the appropriate thing for victors to ride. Just loop back to where we were a little bit earlier on. Was there one animal, or were there two? We've heard Matthew clearly states there were two. Mark and Luke both say that he was riding a colt which no one had ever ridden, one animal. And John says Jesus found a young donkey. So what's the significance here? Well, of course, Matthew was writing for the Jews, and the Jews particularly would have known Zechariah's prophecy, where he mentions two animals, a donkey and a colt. So that's the significance. Matthew, writing for the Jews, goes back to the true original version of the prophecy. So really speaking into the Jewish knowledge of what was happening, making sure that they knew that this was their king, their saviour. And again, slightly confusingly, Matthew says that the disciples put their cloaks on both animals and Jesus rode them, which sounds like an interesting trick. You see people riding two horses, maybe at a circus or something like that. I don't think that was quite what was going on. Certainly not what's depicted in any of the artwork that we see of this story. Various commentaries just say that the disciples weren't sure which animal Jesus was going to ride, and so they put their cloaks on both. But the really significant thing is that it was a donkey and a colt. This is, a mother who is nursing an infant. The complete opposite of the stallion, the big, strong horse. This is meekness and majesty. Really powerful image of just how gentle Jesus is in his victory, how humble. People have pointed out that the Roman garrison in Jerusalem would probably have been beefed up, as it were, for this weekend, because this was a time when there was quite often trouble. And so as Jesus approaches the city on a donkey, very possibly from the other side of the city, there's going to be a demonstration of military might. There's going to be more soldiers coming into the garrison led by a general or equivalent on a horse. So we got the two play, as it were, the meekness and the majesty. And so with this image of Jesus on a donkey, were the crowd maybe a little bit disappointed? It wasn't what they were expecting. And I wonder if perhaps the grip that they had on their palm fronds or the grip that they had on their cloaks maybe tightened a little bit. There was a reluctance to acknowledge Jesus. And again, I wonder if sometimes that's where we can be, reluctant to open our lives completely to him. And if that is where you are, then take encouragement from Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And I wonder how Jesus was feeling. Reading the story now, and as a man, I can think he must have felt really cynical, mustn't he? Now, there's a crowd shouting, cheering, seemingly right behind him. But he knows that it's all going to go very, very differently. He knows that while he has the victory, it comes at a massive price. He knows that it doesn't look much like a victory from a human perspective. And he knows that no one else knows or understands this. So whilst the disciples are getting excited, I don't imagine Jesus is, because he has huge trials just ahead of him. And so to our second reading, which Teta brought us. May our attitude be like that of Christ. There's a challenge, isn't it? Be Christ-like. I don't know about you, but I sort of struggle with that. But what Paul is doing is actually paraphrasing or rephrasing the verses that immediately precede our reading. If you look at Philippians from that chapter from the beginning, Paul writes, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And there's our image. Behold your King. Jesus looking to the interests of us. Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." There, that is the power of God. To take what looks in so many ways like a crushing defeat and make it the most glorious victory. And that victory is for us today. And so as we go into Easter week, Holy Week, can I ask you to bear in mind that it is in faithful, selfless sacrifice that we find victory. Amen.